We have a big part that is the research element. And from the research, we translate that research into the app, helping women eat, exercise, and recover with the menstrual cycle if they have a cycle, or the symptoms if they're perimenopause, menopause, birth control. And the way it works is we take data from wearables, manual input, we aggregate these two together, and it gives us the readiness score, which based on the score, we have these recommendations. People have heard of this train of the menstrual cycle topic, but they didn't know how to do it because it's complex and changes all the time. What we want is, if you are working with women, you are using Wild AI.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Roan Malhotra.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast. We're continuing with our theme content. It's something that I've really enjoyed doing. Last month was all about AI in sports, and this month is all about sports tech to help women in sports. We've already had Jasmine Robinson from Monarch Collective, a women-led, women-focused fund. If you haven't checked out that episode, please go do that. Today, I have the good fortune of speaking with somebody I've known for a while. She's been a founder on the startup, on the sports tech startup circuit for a while. So a lot of investors, a lot of people might know the name. We have Helen Guillaume from Wild AI on the show today. Welcome to the episode, Helen.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here and I love what you're doing with sports techs. So yeah.
Yeah, excited to have you as well, Helen. Like I mentioned, we've had you featured in our content in different ways over the past. And to be honest, this month we're focusing, like I said in the intro, about good technology or sports tech solutions that are helping aid or the growth of women's sports. Of course, there's no coincidence that we do this in the month of the Women's World Cup. And yeah, you were basically one of the first few names that I had in my mind when we were doing this feature month. So glad to have you on the show. Just for anybody who doesn't know, Wild AI is essentially, I'll let Helen explain it much better, but Wild AI is essentially a fitness app and a performance tracking app to help women athletes improve their performance, shall we say. I should also say, Helen, looking radiant and beautiful as always, maybe that's also because she has recently become a mother. So congratulations from all of us to you and your now newly expanded family.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's really fun. Love being a mom.
Yeah, I was sharing with Helen just before we started that I've recently become a dad, well, a year and a bit ago. So yeah, we were trading some stories. But enough of that, we will focus instead on the episode today. So Helen, before we jump into what Wild AI is about, I always want to know about the person behind the startup or behind the story. So tell us what it is that brought you to set up Wild AI.
I think, so I'm a data scientist by training. I studied mathematics and financial risk. I was a quant in a hedge fund and management consultant in AI. So that's my professional life. But under the spare time, I've always been an athlete. I was a semi-pro rugby player and competitive triathlete, ultra-marathon runner. And in sports, being a woman is a subset, is a pretty shitty position. The holy grail is being a man. They're fast, strong, interesting, portrayed in media. And as a woman is really, yeah, like a side, less interesting thing. And so it's quite insulting, especially being passionate about sports. And I just was really questioning this status quo, which is the fact that having a female body is pretty shitty, basically. And I was questioning that. Is that true? Is it really that we have a shitty body, or is there another story? And going through these questionings for myself and going through all these things that are coined as women, we are moody and bitchy and we're hormonal and it changes all the time and it's complicated. I thought if it's changing all the time and it's a moving target, it's actually a very interesting use case for data science, which is what is moving? Why is it incomprehensible? And why do we say it's too complicated? Whereas it's actually probably data points that we can plot on a time series. And so I try to do that and I try to understand my own body. And very early, I could see, especially in cycling, I was cycling with guys and I could see that my performance was varying. So they would cycle and climb hills in a very consistent way. And I would climb really well one day. And then a few days later, I would be out of breath. So I was thinking, is there a difference between me and these men? And imagine it was really early in the journey and cycle syncing was not a word. We put that on the map. And so I looked at my own data set and I saw a very small correlation between my resting heart rate and my menstrual cycle. But there's a lot of noise. So, you know, if you drink alcohol, if you don't sleep well, it impacts the resting heart rate. But still, there was a small correlation. So I became fascinated by that and then realized that, yes, actually, there is very little research that says there is a correlation between the menstrual cycle and all the female metrics. And that's how we started. And so from there, we looked more and more into what kind of metrics are varying, what kind of metrics are impacted. And the fact that the mood is changing, it's actually because underlying, there's a lot of things that are happening in the female body. And so we did all this research. What is the female body? How does it change? And how does it impact our performance? But also the things that we need to supplement and the way we should train and recover with this menstrual cycle. And then we expanded from the menstrual cycle to 149 birth control to women in perimenopause, menopause, and that's how we launched the company.
Yeah, fascinating story. And it's something that I'm actually exploring myself increasingly now as we started doing research on this topic about how technology can help women's sports and simple things like, yeah, there aren't really good solutions that take into account women's menstrual cycles, or there is not good equipment or apparel that that women can use for their sports. Famously, in football is a classic example. Nike just launched their first ever women's shoe. I mean, it's a bit insane that it's taken so long for there to be a dedicated football shoe for women. So things like that, which is the idea of this month, to have women come up, also men as well, it doesn't matter about the gender, but to talk specifically about how technology can help women's sports. And the great work that Wild AI is doing is something that we wanted to focus on. So now let's talk about, I mean, we heard a little bit about your story. You come from, let's say, as you said, a fund background into a startup. What has the journey of the startup been like? So you're using Wild AI to help women athletes. Where did you start from and how, let's say, how advanced in that process do you consider yourselves to have reached now?
So the company is 6 years old. We have a big part that is the research element. And from the research, we translate that research into the app, helping women eat, exercise, and recover with the menstrual cycle if they have a cycle, or the symptoms if they're perimenopause, menopause, birth control. And the way it works is we take data from wearables, manual input, we aggregate these two together, and it gives us the readiness score, which based on the score, we have these recommendations. So that is the app, which we launched successfully. Women love it. They love it because they feel they get access to knowledge, what might happen to my body. And we've been operating in the dark until now. It's basically the comparison I can give you is if you're waiting for the bus and it's going to be, you have no idea if it's going to arrive in 5 minutes or in 35 minutes, you might change your behavior. You might have another decision. You might take another path to get to your work. But as women, we have no idea. Am I going to feel great? Am I going to feel a pain? Am I going to have menopause? When am I going to have menopause? What kind of symptoms? Am I fertile until what age? And we have no idea, basically. So we operate totally in the dark. And what we are providing for the app is this access to knowledge. And the second part is tracking. So women actually really love this tracking element because it gives us awareness. So if I start tracking my sleep, what you measure you can improve. You can measure your sleep. Not I'm excluding you and me who are young parents, but Like if you track your sleep, if you track your alcohol intake, your motivation to exercise, your eagerness, etc., you can actually impact it. And the third one is actually the recommendations, and women follow that and they can test and learn if it's working for them. So that's the app. On the other side, we have a coach dashboard, which we launched in June. And so coaches can now train the women, have access to all of the data of their women, by opt-in, obviously, and train and really upskill themselves. So it's very differentiated for coaches, because until now, people have heard of this train of the menstrual cycle topic, but they didn't know how to do it because it's complex and it changes all the time. And the third thing is the Coach Academy, which we're launching as well. So to upskill all the coaches, all the people who are working with women. What we want is, if you are working with women, you are using Wild AI. And the very exciting last part is a widget that we're launching. So any third party wearable, any third party sports app, wellness app, can now use or plug in to adapt their MenTech app into an app for women. So turning MenTech into tech.
I like the analogy that you used at the start. I mean, the power of how information can affect your behavior cannot be underestimated. And understanding data points that go beyond just the basic, I think that's something that we've talked about a lot on this podcast. The quantified athlete, as Fit Insider calls it, other investors call it by different names. But the more information we get about ourselves, it affects the way we train, it affects the way we perform. And especially for women, as you said, to understand all those aspects of your menstrual health, it has to have an impact on your training and your performance. So to be able to get access to that information becomes super crucial. So you kind of laid out the roadmap of the app where it is right now. Can you talk about some of the recent successes that you've had, or some of the things that you're most proud of that you've achieved over the last 6 years?
I mean, the most recent launch that we've done successfully is the Coach Dashboard, which we're really excited about, because we've been asked to have that for a very long time. Actually, we work with Dr. Stacey Sims and Bevan McKinnon. Stacey is the world reference in female physiology and sports research, and Bevan is the coach we've been working on with since the beginning. And Bevan, since the very first day we've been working together, he's saying, I want to have this coach dashboard where I can see the data that you're inputting. And so basically made his dream a reality. And many coaches have asked for that, because it means that they can, we do something really well, which is we read data sets and we provide reading and understanding of these data very well. We are algorithmic and data backed and research backed as a company. And coaches do something really well, which is they're humans and they train humans, and humans love this interaction. And especially now in a day and age of ChatGPT, when you can think that you can optimize everything and do everything from a computer, the reality is, as humans, we love other humans. And, you know, if you look at art, like the Mona Lisa, it doesn't matter that there's a 700 incredibly well done replica by painters. As humans, we want to see the original. And there is this really important value that we put on an original painting, an original person connection. So as a company that is using algorithms, we also want to empower coaches to use, like basically facilitate their work, but to let them do better their work, which is this human interaction. So that's really exciting for us. And then the second part, which we will announce soon as the first partnerships, is the widgets, the plugin with third parties. So it means that until now, all these wearables, they've been basically, they should be called men technology, men tech, and we are a femtech. But the reason we are is, if you look at the opposition, is like in sports, you have sports and female sports, tech and female tech, health and female health. But that means that the generic denominator is actually for men. Like sports is actually men's sports, tech is men tech, and health is men health. So we want to be able to complement these technologies that are made for men, add the femtech element, and make it tech.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. you'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
The term that I came across recently, which is supposed to cover it, is it femtech? Is that what you refer to it as?
Yeah, so if you say femtech, it's because tech is men-tech. Right. And that is a concept that people still struggle to understand. But if the common denominator, and you understand, we can understand in sports is not sports, it's men's sports. Like rugby is men rugby.
Right.
When you use just it like that.
Yeah, and that's an important distinction to make. I want to talk about your journey as a founder and in relation to fundraising, because as startup founders, we always know that that's a challenge. I think for female startup founders, historically, that has been a bigger challenge. And now, as you said, within the sports space, it is adding another layer of complexity. Did you find that your background coming from, let's say, an investment or fund background helped you? Or what has been your experience with working with funds? Was it more challenging, do you think, than some of your male counterparts?
Yeah. So there are definitely biases and discrimination. I give you an example like from my hedge fund days. When I was in hedge funds, there are no juniors and there are no women. And I was a junior woman in a hedge fund. So when I would go to a conference, people would assume I'm a PA. And if I would see another woman, I would also think she's a PA. And that's what was also happening in funding is we are not used to see successful female founders. And so when people see us, they think we're not smart and we cannot achieve it. And especially if we are going in the journey of motherhood, etc., there are definitely biases against us. So I think that's really a reality and we need to work with it. I think it's, you know, this comparison of like when you have a white male and a white woman and then a black woman. So it's like we have additional hurdles and we need to work around it. So yes, it is harder for sure. There are biases and that's the reality. So I think having that in consideration, I actually love fundraising. I think it's quite a fun game. And one of my ethos is probably coming from sports. Like you cannot play sports if you do not accept failure. It just doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. You cannot compete and think you'll always win. Like failure is part of the game. You have to learn how to get slaps in your face and fail and embrace it and stand up again. And I think being a good athlete is actually being able to stand up again once we failed. And in fundraising, in entrepreneurship, I think it's very similar in terms of the behavior is embracing the fact that we get a lot of no's. And one of my favorite sentences is always jump. You know, when you're in front of the water and it's cold and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should go. I'm like, okay, always jump and always go. And then now how I apply that in business is I try to have no's because I think if I have failures, it means I've been active and I've tried things. And it's uncomfortable and it feels shameful and embarrassing. And, you know, if I have, I have so many examples of, you know, people who had said, oh, yes, we spoke to her many years ago. Where she is like, you know, these embarrassing things that we don't want to feel as humans, the shame of having pitched to someone who said no, but that's okay. It's part of the game, basically. So I think that's, I mean, obviously I say that and I just always feel super weird to send an email and get a no, but I think getting more no's for me is like a great mark of my journey. It means that I've put myself out there. And it's harder for us as women. That's the reality.
Yeah, I think that's a great mentality and one that anybody who's listening to this podcast can learn a lot from. You're bound to hear no's. Every startup founder has heard a ton of them. It's harder for some people than for others, but there's no reason for that to discourage you just because it is harder. It just means that maybe you have to work a little bit harder. That said, we also have to be aware of the biases. Some of the stuff that you mentioned at the start of, As a man walking to a conference, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine what you would have felt like. So it is important for us to also be cognizant of questioning some of the biases that we might unconsciously have And that's an important learning as well. Coming out of Wild AI and out of your own personal experiences with fundraising and such, talking about sports tech for women's sports in general, what do you think are the biggest trends or the drivers, or what are the key aspects of tech that can really expand and help women's sports grow in a big way?
It's such a multiple layer question and solution, because it's basically a virtuous or vicious circle. And I think from the very beginning, from encouraging girls and women to do more sports, to having funding to train them and to professionalize the sport, to having more medias covering it, and then to have more interest and seeing as well technologies like ours as strategic and non-marketing. Because when we speak to big players, very often we fall into the marketing budgets. So, cool, we're going to do some like female technology, we're covering women, it's cute, let's put it out there like to show that we are serving women. But the reality is not really strategic, because still in the C-level of these big corporates, it's men. So for them, they don't understand the value that we are solving. So to be able to solve this equation, there's so many layers, but it is moving. And some of the rationales actually do not hold true. For instance, the fact that audience do not want to watch women's sports. That's not true. We've seen it with the female soccer, like the World Cups. Actually, people love watching women's sports. And it's a very different sport. The argument I compare to it is boxing. You have heavyweight and lightweight is two different sports, completely different. And female soccer and male soccer is two different sports. By the way, being a rugby player, I hate watching male soccer. It's like, for me, it's really painful watching them like fall on the floor and complaining all the time. I find it really painful. Whereas female soccer is like, it's a fast sport. So there is a lot of value to watch these sports. And audienceship is actually proving that people watch it. And so if people watch it, there is money for media. And if there's money for media, there's money to put back into professionalizing the sports, which is also investing in technologies to improve the sports. So we are moving. We need to see way more proactive thinking behind that, because it's moving too slow, to my opinion. Obviously, I'm biased because it's my world, but yeah.
No, I think that's a great point. As you said, technology needs to be across various touch points. It starts with capital. That's one trend that we are seeing. We're seeing an influx of capital. Like I mentioned at the start, we have a women-focused sports fund now with Monarch Collective, the founders of Angel City FC. There are other funds, or let's say private equity players, who are investing in women's sports and leagues and teams, celebrity investors as well. So we're seeing capital come into women's sports. At the same time, the media, let's say automated video production, things like that, and distributing content to social media, which can help improve the reach of women's sports. Because no doubt, as you mentioned, there's an audience for it. We can debate, maybe 10 years ago, I think there was always an audience for women's sport. Maybe it just didn't get the coverage. But today, there is no argument. Stadiums are filled out across various sports. So now it's just about finding all the fans who can't make it to stadiums. And I think that's where technology can play a role. Helen, yeah, great to hear your perspective on that. Let's talk about up next for Wild AI. What does the next 12, 18 months look like for you guys?
Yeah, we have these big deliverables, which I already mentioned, the coach dashboard, like really taking over the markets and the widgets. And for us, basically, if you are working with women, we want you to be using Wild AI. Wherever you are, whoever you are, that's our ambition.
Yeah, and that's a super powerful mission. Helen, I think that's a great place to end the episode. Is there any call to action? Is there anything that you can say out to our listeners? Maybe you're raising a round. Maybe, as you've already mentioned, there's a new parts of the product that you want to talk about, partners that you would like to invite.
Yes, if you are a coach, a nutritionist, someone working with women, please check out the coach dashboard. If you have any questions, you can email us, alan@wild.ai. Check our Instagram account as well, wild.ai app. And investment side, we're not raising right now, but we will. So do reach out and get in touch. And if you are a woman, obviously download the app and yeah, reach out to us. We're a very small team. We reply to every single email. So if you have questions, like, do reach out.
That is an excellent shot. And we'll drop your contacts in the episode notes as well. Helen, it has been an absolute pleasure. I can't let you go without answering my last question, which is usually my favorite question to ask. I like to believe that we're all sports fans first. So what has been your favorite sporting moment, either one that you experienced as a fan or maybe as an athlete also?
For me, I'll tell you two of them. One, I'm a surfer. I'm an amateur surfer now. And I was invited to surf Nazaré, which is known in the world as the biggest wave in the world. I surfed it it was very, very small. So, like, I need to caveat, I was stood in the wave and it was really fun. So just as a location and just feeling the thrill, and there's a lot of water moving, and it's very impressive to be there at the bottom of this lighthouse. So that was really exciting and really fun. And the second one, which is a very emotional memory, I was doing a 100-kilometer ultra marathon. And I think in ultras, there is this human element that is so beautiful. I was running out of water and one of my co-runners gave me some water, and they would also run out of water if they give me water. But there is this bond that is so beautiful, which is what I really love in that sport. I think doing ultra sports really pushes the boundaries of what we can do and how we can help each other. And that was it is just a beautiful memory I have.
One of my favorite reasons for asking that question is because it's almost like whenever my guest is answering it, their face lights up when they're remembering those moments. And it's incredible to share that moment with you. On Nazaré, I remember the first time I was surfing was about 100 kilometers south of there in Ericeira in Portugal. I haven't been to Nazaré myself, but it's high on my list. And ultra marathons, hey, that's a maybe in my life. I just signed up for my first half marathon, but ultra marathons maybe one day. Helen, you are an inspiration. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. And hope you've had a good time enjoying recording this episode as well.
Thank you so much. Loved it.
Perfect. That is a wrap for another episode in our series. We have another couple of great guests lined up for you. Stay tuned for another episode next week. See you guys then.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Rohan Malhotra. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.